if you go through a difficult time, if things sensed you, then you would do well to turn to Amos chapter 8 and just read through that and see how victory will come to you. Amen. Because the truth sets us free. And we begin to feed on the truth. We step into that spirit of victory. And suddenly things don't look as bad as they used to look. Romans chapter 8. I'm really tempted to read the whole chapter, but we won't have time for that this morning. But we start at verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Of course, when he talks about sufferings, the sufferings of this present time, he's not talking about the sufferings that we suffer because of bad choices that we make. He's talking about suffering for the name of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. Now, we don't have a great understanding of all of that here in Canada because we have hardly any persecution. You know, sometimes they mock one or two people at work and make fun of you. That's about as far as our sufferings go here. So we don't have a real understanding of what that is. But the Apostle Paul had a real understanding. He got beaten a few times, thrown into prison, stoned. He says, all of that does not compare with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So when there's a little suffering that comes your way, just say to yourself, this is nothing. This is nothing. What's coming is far greater than this. I'll endure this with joy. Amen?
Amen.
I'll endure this with joy. We're learning the wonderful fruits of patience. And sometimes when things go against us and we just exercise some patience, we'll see the wonderful fruit that comes. You know, sometimes we can work up an anxiety in us when things don't go our way, or we see something on the horizon and we get all up in a frenzy and anxiety and all of that, and palpitations and sleepless nights and all of that, and all for nothing, because most of the time it doesn't even happen. But even if it does happen, let's say to ourselves, there are people that suffer much more than I do. And the glory that's coming is much greater than this, what I'm going through now. I'll just fix my eyes on the glory that's coming. And not on what's happening, what's going wrong all around me here. We're learning that lesson now when we made the move, and you know, we moved the church and moved our home, and everything is uncomfortable and unsettled, and we ask ourselves, why do we do this to ourselves? Change is never comfortable. But if you want to move on, you have to be willing to go through a little bit of a rough time so that you can enjoy the benefits of it later on. And as we close our eyes to the present little discomforts, and we just do what we have to do and move on and keep our eyes on the goal, then things become a whole lot easier. And you'll be surprised at what you can endure if you were just willing to be patient in all of that. The glory is to come. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. This verse speaks to me that even creation out there is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, we didn't handle the planet very well. You all know that we corrupted this planet. It has become so toxic with our mismanagement and bad stewardship. And it's groaning. We'll read that in a few moments. It's groaning under that bondage. of what corrupt man has done to it. And it's waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, who will be good stewards of it. So when you go through a little bit of bondage and rough and tumble, just think, you know, creation is groaning with us. And the bondage that has come through the fall of man, everything was corrupted. It went through all of creation. Verse 24, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, I tell you what, I begin to look forward to that. Man, I tell you, I begin to look forward to that. You know, it seems that every week the world goes deeper into corruption and the mess that man has created. But there's hope here. There is hope. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. I hope that's the case with us, that we look forward to the day when all things will change. Do you know that you're going to get a new body? Don't spend too much time on the old one. Don't be too concerned about the old one. You're going to get a brand new one. We're going to have a body that will be like the body of Jesus. The Bible says that. It's going to be amazing. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, and the disciples were all together there in the room, all scared and filled with fear, and all the doors were locked, Jesus walked in there. They don't know how he got in there, but he got in there because his body was now a glorious body. And he says that we will be like him. We're going to be like him. Things are going to change for the better. And I don't think we should hold on to what we have too much. Because if we fall in love with the world and the stuff of the world, the Bible says the love of God is not in you. We should fix. We have better things coming. And we should have that desire in us and say, Lord, we want to be clothed with that new body. We want to be clothed with your glory once again, just as Adam was before he fell in sin. I long for that day when we will have what you intended for us to have. The church should be filled with that desire for the new things that God has promised for us. That we will not just enjoy too much the corruption that we see around us and this low quality of life, but we have some better things coming for us. Sometimes I feel the church has not really stepped up to this too much. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Well, it's the same thing with faith. You know that, eh? Some people say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you don't have to believe it when you see it, because you'll see it. Faith works with the unseen. And there is some good things coming that are available in the unseen. And that's where our hope is anchored. That's where our faith is fixed. Is we bring those things into the present and into the visible world through faith. And without faith, people just sit down and wait to die. But when we have that living hope inside of us, we see some dreams that God still wants to see accomplished, and we go about it. We go after it. We say, well, it seems impossible now. You know, I don't believe we can do this, and I don't believe we can do it. Oh, well, you can. you can, if you take your eyes off the present and you begin to look into the spiritual, you'll be amazed at what we can do. Because God has made it possible through the covenant that we have with Him. Remember, God has one dream, and that is that the good news will be preached to every creature. That's God's dream. And the only people that can make it happen is us, His people. And we look at this mammoth task and we say, how can we do that? I don't think we can do that. And then people go introvert and they just look about how can we make life as easy as we can for ourselves while the world is going to hell. And God says, no, you got a job. And you can do it. You can do it. I always thank God that this church has gone so far around the globe. Because that's the dream of God. And we say, well, you know, we're not with thousands of people. Well, that doesn't matter. You don't need thousands of people. All you need is a few people with faith. And a desire to see the kingdom come. And now we're linking up with God's dream. And now suddenly all things become possible. Because we're not looking at the natural, we're looking at the spiritual. And we're looking at God's dream and we say, that dream is going to come true. Well, I'll tell that to myself this morning, because I believe it. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. With perseverance. Thank God for perseverance. That we can, and the perseverance is what you need when things go against you. And perseverance will pull us through. You know, we have some good, I want to say, Holy Ghost inspired spine. And we can handle tough times. And we can, just as we read earlier, we can, like the Apostle Paul, we can handle being humble and we can handle being prosperous. Because it's all about Him. And we can do that. We can do that. Our eyes are on Him, not on whether we're humble or prosperous. Our eyes are on Him, and that's why we'll always win. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. I cannot tell you how many people I have heard say, I cannot do this because I have this weakness in my life. I don't qualify to do this, and I don't qualify to do that. You have an intercessor. You have an intercessor. Don't focus on the weakness. Focus on what God wants to do through you. He has a lot that He wants to do through. Of course you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I've never met a perfect person. Never in my life. If I've seen a perfect person. Now my wife comes close. And once a year or so, you know, there's a little slip there. But for the rest, she's getting there. But let me tell you something. We are too quick sometimes as Christians to look at our weaknesses and disqualify ourselves. Well, God says, you can do it. I'm always thinking of the Apostle Paul when he said, I have this thorn in my side. There's a weakness that disgusts me. And I asked the Lord three times to take this thing away from me. And He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't look at the weakness, look at the grace. The grace will make up for what you cannot do. And for where you fail, God's grace, is that a license to sin? No, it's not a license to sin. But it is, it gives us that freedom to go out and accomplish things for God. Because we know His grace is sufficient for us. Some people say, what was that thorn in the side of Paul? Well, we don't know. And I think it's good that we don't know, because everybody has a different thorn. And we're not going to write a book on Paul's thorn. Because you can write a book on your own thorn. And say, God's grace is sufficient for me. I don't have to focus on this stone. I have a job to do. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it with grace. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Man, what a Bible we have. That the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He knows the will of God. And we know the Bible tells us if we pray according to the will of God, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we will have the petitions that we've asked of him. Now, we don't always know the will of God, but the Holy Spirit does. And he makes intercessions for us. Even if we don't know what to pray for and how to pray, well, he knows. And he prays according to the will of God on our behalf. It is as good as us praying exactly what God wants for us to do. Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He steps into the gap. And he takes our place and he prays on our behalf to God. According to his will. How can we fail if the Holy Spirit is our intercessor? How can we fail if God himself searches the hearts and he sees the Holy Spirit interceding for us according to his will? And we know God will never say no to the prayers of the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, we need to find out in our heads. I think our hearts know that, but our heads don't. That God has made his people invincible. That he put us on the earth to win, and to win big for him. And we can do what God called us to do. And we can have what God wants us to have. And we can fulfill our call and our purpose with excellence. We are well equipped to do all that God made us to do. We are well equipped and we have no excuses. Peter Daniel says, are you excusiologists? Because we're so quick to come up with excuses. But we don't have excuses. We have the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we don't have excuses. We can do what God called us to do. I'm glad to know that. Because I tell you what, sometimes the Holy Spirit stirs up inside of me. He stirs up things inside of me. And there were times when I looked at what we're doing today and I thought, how in the world are we going to do this? And then we find ourselves doing what we thought couldn't be done. And we look at ourselves and say, you know, God is an amazing God. Look at what he's doing. And we get used to that, and confidence grows, and that fear that we had and the doubt, all of that disappear because confidence has grown when you look at the past and the testimonies that we have, and we say, God, we're going to do this, we can handle this, hallelujah. Man, I tell you, God loves people who take big steps of faith for him and say, we can do that. Yes, Lord, we'll do that. God puts a dream inside of you. Yes, sir. We'll go about it right away. Let's get going with this. We don't have to sit and wait around and wait for things to happen. We make things happen. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Now let me tell you something about purpose. Every one of us came to earth with a purpose. Nobody landed here by accident. Just by accident, you know, just hit the ground like Mr. Bean, just hit the ground. And you know what he came to do, why he's here, what this is all about. No, we came with purpose, well planned by God. Well planned by God. And now it says here that that all things work together for good. Not for bad. but for good. We don't always see it right away, but we can say this with confidence. All things work together for good for those who love God. And what the devil means for bad, God can turn into a good thing, because we love God and He loves us, and He's not going to abandon us. We know that. He made that promise: I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will always be you. Jesus said, I will be you. I will be with you till the last day. We are well equipped to do what God called us to do. We don't have to be fearful. And you know, Apostle Paul is writing all of this because he's in the back of his mind, he is talking about the victory of the cross. He's talking about the victory of the church. He's talking about the glorious day that is coming. And we are not leaving here in defeat. We are leaving here in glory. I tell you, they can go against the church as much as they want. They can move against us and make laws against us. We will always win. Amen. And we always did win through the ages. They've tried to annihilate the church and failed. And they will always fail, because the church was planted. And Jesus said that the gates of hell will not destroy. Praise God. We're in good company here. And we are a people with purpose. Verse 29. For him for whom he foreknew, and that is you, God didn't find out about you when you were born. He foreknew you before the foundation of the earth. He knew about you. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's your destiny. That you are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I believe that God called us to do works. The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 2. That we are his workmanship, and that we are doing the works that God made for us beforehand to do. So we have become doers. Every believer must be a doer of the will of God. Excuse me, not just a hearer, but a doer. But God is also concerned not only with what we do, but by what we become. It's a big thing with God. It is not as big as it ought to be in the church, but God is also concerned with what we become. Because He wants the church to become like Christ. That's God's dream. That you and I will become like him. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in pain, until Christ is formed in you. And that is part of God's dream. And every one of us has the potential to become like him and to be like him. Because God predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. So everyone is called. You know that you're called. Whom He called, these He also justified. That means you're justified. God's not holding your sins against you. If you look there in verse 1 there of chapter 8, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. And so God justified us. And whom He justified, back to verse 30, these He also glorified. Well, you're many things, right? You're many things. You're justified. You're called. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You have purpose. You are called. You're justified and glorified. Wow, here we begin to discover who we are in Christ. We're not just the same old me with a religious jacket on. I'm going to church now. Oh no, there's a brand new being inside of you. You're not the same as you used to be. For if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. This is part of our new identity. I'm called. I'm justified. I'm predestined to conform to the image of His Son. And I'm glorified. And I'm beginning to discover who I am in Christ. Verse 31. What shall we say? What then shall we say to these things? Some people say, I don't think it is for me. Some people say, I don't think I can change. Some people say, that sounds a little too extreme. This sounds like fanaticism to me. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? How shall He not with Him? I mean, He gave His best. God gave His most precious. Why shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Freely. Give us all things. You don't have to beg. You don't have to earn things. It's already been earned for you. I'm thinking of a lady that was a neighbor of our family there out east. And I don't know what she did. We never did ask her, or it's not our business to know, but she did something that she felt guilty about. And then she wanted to make up for that. And it was winter time, so around Christmas time. And she decided, I'm going to take off my shoes and I'm going to walk I don't know how far. I don't know if you could remember. Quite a distance. A few kilometers. In the snow with my bare feet. To punish myself so that I can get back to God. Well, you don't have, He will give it freely to you. You don't have to earn things with God. You don't have to punish yourself. God already punished Jesus for what you did wrong. How shall He not with Him freely give you all things? Freely. If I may say so, He's already done it at the cross. It's too late to ask the question. He already did it. Jesus paid for it all already at the cross. And here's the statement that I always make. If what Jesus did on the cross, what He paid for with His own life and His own blood, if that could not reverse, if that cannot reverse the betrayal and the high treason that Adam did in the garden, then Jesus died for nothing. Jesus did not die to give us religion. He died to restore to us what God made us in the first place. That's what He died for. So that we can have that open relationship with Him, stand under an open heaven. God coming down to fellowship with man again. That's what He longed for. And that's why Jesus came, so that we could be reconciled with Him once again. And we had nothing to do with it. He did it all for us. And now He says, how shall He who did not spare His own Son, not with Him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It means nobody can go and lay a charge against you, going to God, the judge, and charge you with anything. Because you'll be going to the one who justified you. And that's what the devil did. Remember in the Old Testament it talks about Joshua, that he stood there before God, and the devil brought a charge against him. And God did not accept that charge. And if the devil goes and he brings a charge against you, and he goes to God the judge, God is not going to accept the charge. Why not? Because you've already been found guilty, but Jesus paid the penalty. And you cannot be charged again for the same offense. You're free. Who can bring a charge against? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Oh boy. We have the Holy Spirit as an intercessor, and we have Jesus as an intercessor. We have Jesus. Do you know that Jesus is praying for you? Do you know that Jesus prayed for Peter and he said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. He says the devil eagerly wanted to sift you. But I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And now we have the Holy Spirit as an intercessor, and we have Jesus as an intercessor. And we have them both praying for us. Can you begin to see that God wants you to win? That God wants you to win in life, to be victorious? So the devil cannot go to Jesus, because he's the one who paid the penalty. The only one that still remains is us. And how often do we condemn ourselves? The devil comes to us and says, well, you did this and you did that. And you did, yes, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm good for nothing. I'm an old sinner. And I'll never make it. I always failed. Yes, I'm guilty. And as long as you're guilty, as long as you have a low self-esteem, you'll never win. You'll never win in life. And I found out that sin came to give us all a low self-esteem. And as long as you have a low self-esteem, you'll fail. But you don't have to have a low self-esteem, because you become a new creation in Christ. And now God has given you value. And you are precious in his sight. David wrote, and he said, what is man that you are mindful of him, and that you visit him? Well, what is man? Well, man has been reconciled with God, and he's been given a new life, and he has value in the eyes of God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? When any of these things come to us, will it separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things. Oh, these things will come. Like the times when the Apostle Paul went hungry. Those days came. But he didn't give up. It didn't separate him from God. It didn't separate him from God. When the good times came, it didn't separate him from God. You know, sometimes if the devil cannot get you with a bad time, he'll give you a good time. And some people are separated from God because of good times. I've seen that a lot of times. I've seen that. I've seen people, they come to church and they're broken, they're at the bottom of life, and they're defeated, and I see them begin to rise up and become strong, and blessing came upon them, and God started to bless them, and then the blessing became so important to them that they walked away from God. I've seen that. It's terrible to see that. The people who once were close to the Lord suddenly drift away and they're gone. It's terrible for us pastors to see that. I wonder how God must feel about it. When He paid so much for us, that people turn away. But now it says, none of these will separate us from the love of God. You know, people may separate from you when bad times hit, when you fall on hard times, but God never will. It says, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing will separate. He will still love us. Even if we fall, even if we stumble, God will still love us. He cannot fail because God is love. He will always love us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Praise God. Do you know that years ago, we were still living in South Africa, and I woke up one night, and I saw, right in front of my face, I saw a demon spirit with my eyes. And I saw him coming, and I knew that he wanted to enter me. I knew that. And I wasn't as strong in the Lord as I am today. And I was filled with fear. I'm telling you, I could not sleep for nights. I could not sleep. I was scared of that thing. I was scared of that thing. I saw his face. Even today, I see that face. And I was filled with fear. I'm telling you. And I didn't know what to do. And I decided that first night, that following night, I opened my Bible at Romans 8. And for I don't know how many nights, a long, long time, that's what I did every night. I opened my Bible at Romans 8. Because I said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing shall separate me. And that's how I got the victory over that thing. Because I knew that as long as I have the truth of God in me, the devil cannot get me. And if you have the truth inside of you and you know that nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, you will always win. God will always be there to bail you out. And you have never a good reason to quit. You always have a good reason to persevere and say, I'm going to win this thing because God loves me. He will not separate from me, and I am here to win. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Praise God. And I tell you, the devil can try his tricks and he can bring his circumstances. We can always win. We can always win. We were walking downtown Brussels one day, and we were on a mission there with a mission station. We were missionaries there years ago, and we had two girls. And they love to pray, and they love to laugh at the devil, and you know, insult the devil and say things to the devil and all of that. And some of the people there started to feel inferior because they thought these two girls are spiritual giants. Just listen to them and how they pray and all of that. But we're walking downtown Brussels one day, my wife and I and the two of them. And suddenly, I saw from the top of the buildings, the roofs of the buildings, fiery darts coming at me, one after the other. I just blacked out. From that moment, I had no idea where I was, what was going on. I had no idea. I was gone in broad daylight. And my wife is here. She'll tell you. She'll tell you, I tried to run into the traffic. I have no recollection of that. Devil tried to kill me. And I just suddenly, we were looking for the embassy, and there was a police officer there, and she was talking, asking him for directions. But I can't remember any of that. I just felt I'm sinking into a deep, deep, dark pit. Blackness. I'm sinking. And when I sank, I started to shout. And I prayed in tongues. And suddenly, that thing was gone. Just a moment, that thing was gone. I was my full conscious positive, and I was back to where I was. Let me tell you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. The devil can try his tricks, but you were born to win. Nobody was born to fail. You were born to win and to be more than a conqueror. And those two girls, when we look back, they were gone. They were gone. When they saw this thing happening, they took off. They ran, because the whole thing was just a Christian scam. That's all it was. It was just a cloak of religion. There was no power there. But you find out when the devil comes down on you, you'll find out that there is power inside of you. You don't have to yell insults at the devil. Your strength is not in that. Your strength is in him. And knowing that nothing will separate you from the love of God. You're always ready to win. Praise God. I'll tell you what, the devil, maybe you have stories to tell of how the devil tried to kill me. The very first night we slept in Canada when we moved here, he attacked me, the same thing. That's another story. But let me tell you something. We are here to win. And by now we know. We know that he can try his tricks. He can bring things against us. We will win. And we are going out of here in victory. And we're going to stand before God one day. That's my dream. Like Jesus, when he, on the last day, just before he went to the cross, he prayed there in John 17. And he said, Father, I have done all that you gave me to do. Done it all. And I want to say that one day. I want to say that one day. I want to say, if I knew what you were going to bring to me, I probably would have given up. But I have done all that you gave me to do. And we can. We are well equipped. Praise God. Let me tell you something. The greatest power in the universe is the love of God. There is no power greater than the love of God, and that love is on you. It binds you to the one who loves you, and he will always take care of you. Amen. And we are here to win. Let's all say, I'm more than a conqueror. Okay, let's all stand. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for this word. We thank you for Romans 8. We thank you for the wonderful truths that are hidden in this chapter, preserved for us to draw strength from in a difficult day and a difficult time, recorded for us so that we may know that you have done all to make us victorious and to be the people that you made us to be. We give you all the glory. Father, we thank you that you are always with us. And no matter what happens, all things work together for good for those who love God. May your name be exalted, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.